Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today, everybody. Friday. Yes, Chris Meany, Ashley Docking here with you. A good show today. Lisa Ann from Sirius XM Radio joins us. And then a new guest we haven't had on this particular show before. Yeah. He's been on the network before. Michael Beller. Yes. From Sports Illustrated. He's going to join us as well. We are talking about some of Lisa Ann's favorite performers from this week. She really likes what Eric Decker's been doing, and he's been consistent all through last year as well as it's obviously tailed into this year, which is hilarious because when he first joined the Jets, 3 years ago, I believe it was, everyone was just on him. He's just playing for the money. He doesn't want to be a contender. He's like, no one from Denver was calling me. I kept checking my phone, and it wasn't ringing. What do you expect me to do?
Poor guy.
So now he's finding some success with the Jets, and it looked like it was going to be kind of a dog of a game. No one was really expecting much. Brad Evans was expected to drink over 6 glasses of tequila last night because of it.
Today.
We'll have to check in with him in a bit. But it was 20-10 heading into halftime, and then if you flip the channel quickly.
And I did.
And Chris did, and then came back, a quick touchdown, Tyrod to Salas. Yep. A long play and then a turnover and a fumble return for a touchdown made it a pretty close game. But at the end of the day, Matt Forte, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah,
didn't matter.
That Jets offense is
good.
It's really, really good. And I got a lot of flack for having Ryan Fitzpatrick as like a top 12 quarterback. And I understand if you look at the schedule, it's not great. And even yesterday, only throwing 1 touchdown, but just like almost 400 yards in the air, 374 yards. It just has so many weapons. You know, Brandon Marshall, a little bit of a scare too, dealing with a slight knee sprain as of right now. He left the game and he said that, you know, he couldn't feel his knee at all,
said,
which is a little concerning.
I thought it was over.
I thought it was over. Yeah.
I thought I'd be watching the rest of the season in Florida.
Yeah, too bad. But he was great. I mean, 6 for 101. And then Decker, we'll talk about him in a little bit with Lisa Ann, as you mentioned. He was great. And Forte, just not a lot of people gave this guy credit. And
well, let's be honest. First of all, he needed 30 touches.
Sure.
Pass 100 yards. It's not exactly an efficient performance, but it's an old school,
right.
Give him the rock, pound the ball performance, and 3 touchdowns. He did make some space for himself.
Yeah, he found the end zone 3 times. I mean, now he's got 52 carries, 196 yards. He's on pace for 472 touches. I don't think that's going to happen. And a lot of players do say this, so take this with a grain of salt, but I thought this was really encouraging when I was hearing and watching the broadcast last night. Forte was saying that this out of his 6 offensive coordinators that he's had in his career, that this offense just suits him the best, which is crazy to think because with Mark Trestman a couple seasons ago, he caught 100 balls in that offense. So that way, he was so productive then as well. But Forte, you got him at a steal. You got him at a discount. I remember FSTA draft, we talked a lot about where he was going and just how it was a nice steal. And I had him just outside the top 10. And much like everybody else, we had to bump him down a little bit because we didn't see him come preseason time. Shame on us because he was a veteran and he probably just wasn't really getting out there in the field preseason. So looks like Forte is going to be good to go. I'd still hang on to Powell, though, because if anything does happen, he's a very similar back who can catch balls out of the backfield and will be productive in PPR leagues.
And we didn't talk about Quincy Enunwa.
He's for you.
quickly becoming one of the waiver wire's most valuable items if you haven't gotten to him. Probably go and pick him up. I know.
Absolutely.
I snagged him in our work draft a few days ago. Our work league, not our draft. But he was great again. 6 of 6 for 92 yards. He basically replaced the tight end position from the slot. He's the check down guy. He's the guy that they're going to. And he also made some great plays, especially on the left side of the field, I believe it was, went up and over the defender. So he's not just there for a check down option. He does have capabilities to make big plays. And when all 3 of your main receivers have over 90 yards, it's going to be a good fantasy day. And if Fitzpatrick's on your waiver wire and you need to grab someone when your quarterback has a bye week, he's a viable option. Fitzpatrick had 10 completions of at least 15 yards tied for 3rd for the most in the past 10 seasons.
Nice.
So even though he only found the end zone once, he's making those nice reads down the field, and that's why he's chopping up so much yards.
Yeah, and he is available. In 2 quarterback leagues, he needs to be rostered. I have him in a couple leagues where he's 2 quarterback leagues. But, I mean, his schedule is fairly tough. Looking forward, as I mentioned, KC, Seattle, Arizona. But he does have some weak games in there, Cleveland and Baltimore. Week 14 against San Francisco, maybe you want to keep an eye. Don't look too far ahead, but that would be first week of playoffs, depending on matchups. You got to look at this stuff. But, yeah, Fitzpatrick, I mean, he uses all of his weapons really well. I mean, Quincy, Pat and I were joking at Pat Mayo Hour on Monday. Little Quincy, he's not little at all. He's a big boy. Yeah. He just rolls over people now. So 13 receptions on 14 targets, 146 yards on the score. He's definitely, as you said, Ashley, he's definitely rosterable. You can go ahead and pick him up. Marcus Wheaton.
He's back. He had some shoulder problems after the 3rd preseason game. He missed the Monday night game against Washington, obviously, but he's expected to be right back in the lineup as if Pittsburgh needs another weapon.
I know. I have him like wide receiver 44 heading into Unfortunately, this week it's not a whole lot of respect and love for him, but he's still going to be a big part of this offense. I actually like him a lot this season. Eli Rogers, it might cut into a little bit what he's doing, Sammy Coates, those guys. I still think Wheaton is the third option in this offense behind Brown and behind, you know, more so running back, whoever's in there with Le'Veon Bell and D'Angelo Williams.
Receiving targets. I'm obviously targets. Williams is after Brown, but then receiving targets, even Jesse James, too. I know that you're higher on Rodgers, and maybe just athletically or long-term he might be better, but James is a huge target, and I think they're both giving the young guys
a chance. Absolutely. This whole Pittsburgh offense, you want a piece of it. You want a piece of it if you can get
And you want a piece of Spencer Ware. He's back in the mix on Thursday after missing practice on Wednesday. We mentioned that they're probably just managing it. He had a big game in week one, probably just giving him some time off. That's what it looks like. And now it looks like that he's becoming even more of a value because Jamaal Charles is not expected to play week two. He's questionable going forward.
Wow.
And to even say that about someone who was expected to play week one just be on a snap count is very, very concerning unless you're an owner of Spencer Ware.
Yeah.
Then you're ecstatic.
It's extremely concerning. But yes, as you said, Ashley, if you own Ware, you're loving that news that, you know, it's just not great news for Charles. We're yet to see this guy get on the field. And it was just a great matchup for Ware last week in San Diego. I'm going to say the same thing just moving forward here with Chris Ivory, who is now officially ruled out.
Yep.
And his Jaguars play the Chargers. So it's another good matchup for the run game and T.J. Yeldon. T.J. Yeldon becomes a top 20 back. I know we kind of joked about his carries and opportunity yesterday.
Yeah,
a lot of carries is not doing much with it. But
not
Green
efficient.
Bay's a tough defense. They're very underrated. And San Diego hasn't been able to stop the run now in just all of last year and the preseason and week one. So T.J. Yeldon is still fairly cheap in all, like FanDuel, DraftKings, Aces, whatever you want to play, Yahoo. So get him in there and play him with confidence. He's going to have another decent day.
Yeah, and particularly if you want to spend money somewhere else.
Absolutely,
he's definitely
for sure.
a stopgap. And even Spencer Ware is not too extremely priced after his performance last week.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
What?
We're done.
Did you say something?
I was going to say, like, for the baseball people out there, Jaime Garcia scratched Sunday. Yep. Alex Reyes is going to take the spot in the rotation. You're looking ahead for next week, semifinals. Maybe it's finals. You just go ahead and pick him up. He's got some great strikeout potential.
That's why you make the big bucks, Chris. Because you have a hand on everything.
I don't make big
Maybe Lisa Ann. I don't know. Host of SiriusXM. She's coming up next. She's going to talk about some of her performers for week two that she's got an eye on. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As promised, SiriusXM host Lisa Ann joins us now to talk about some of the players that she likes heading into week two. But first, we're going to start with someone who already played his week two game, Eric Decker. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Great, thank you.
Yes, we're doing good. Happy Friday to you. Thanks for coming on FSD again. We really appreciate it. Let's just, before we get into this week, as Ashley mentioned, let's touch on last night's game. Eric Decker, just one of the most consistent wide receivers and continues to just get no love, not only in DFS, but in season-long leagues. Why do you think that is?
You know, I just think people overlook him mainly because the Jets, and no one has any expectations there. And people are very down on Fitzpatrick as well. But when last night I started Fitz and Decker combo in six leagues, and I'm already up to 57 points,
wow.
two players playing 57 points. That gives you a lot of confidence going into your weekend. Decker is consistent. He remains healthy. He works really, really hard. And there's no reason that I was able to get him in 10 out of 14 of my leagues.
He had almost a touchdown every single game last season. He's 2 for 2 so far this year. Do you think he has a better fantasy season than Brandon Marshall?
I definitely do. I see Brandon Marshall a little bit on the decline. I don't know if it's the new diet that they forced him into that he wasn't thrilled about, but there's definitely some change there. But Fitz will make it happen. I think they all have such a great rapport that I think Fitz really does like to spread the ball around to them. So he will do what he can. We saw Marshall take a little hit last night, and Decker is just that monster that will dive to the turf and make that play happen and never let that ball touch the ground.
Someone who seemingly never lets the ball touch the ground either, Larry Fitzgerald. He just pulled in his 100th touchdown last week. He owns almost every single receiving record in the Arizona Media Guide. What are your expectations for him this week taking on Oakland?
You know, I think he's going to be a big play in daily. Everybody's going to chase last week's numbers, and I don't think it will be the same. Remember, week one is much easier, especially in daily, because the pricing is set. Once the prices raise a bit and everyone is hot on a player that had a flashy week one, I usually kind of cool off on that player a bit. I think Oakland's going to be very prepared. But it's going to be an interesting matchup. I mean, watching David Johnson, I don't know if I have ever seen a running back with footwork as beautiful to watch as this kid. I'm glad to have a couple shares of him. He's very expensive in daily now, but I definitely think he's worth it.
When Fitz got his 100th touchdown, the media had asked him, where does this rank on your list of accomplishments? And he said 97. He's like 97 behind Jerry Rice. That's where it ranks. So he's still ready to put in some work.
Let's talk about Stephon Diggs for a second, because he was fairly productive. Mm-hmm. 9 targets, 7 catches, cracked 100 yards. That was with Sean Hill at quarterback. What do you think his line will look like with Sam Bradford potentially throwing him balls this weekend?
You know, it's hard to want to believe in Bradford in a new situation, but I'm going to. They're bringing a home game to the new stadium. Their fans are really excited about it. Stephon Diggs is an incredible playmaker, and I see a big week for him. His price is still pretty low in daily. He's an easy play, and I think, you know, listen, Bradford is what it is, but it's better than Sean Hill, so this is the chance that they've taken. If anyone's going to get the targets, there's not a lot of options there. So I think that Stephon Diggs will get that work.
In Seattle, things are a bit confusing, I guess, convoluted. We've heard that Thomas Rawls is the starter. He's going to start week 2. And although Christine Michael saw the field more, the snaps in particular, he only had 3 more rush attempts than Rawls. But it added up to a significant amount more yards, 34 more yards. What is the deal over there? Is it just we're trying to give Thomas Rawls the benefit of the doubt, but really we think Michael's going to be our guy? Or is it truly up for grabs?
I think it's really going to be Rawls this week. I mean, I think Michael really did help out where they needed him. I somewhat think these coaches are trying to throw a wrench in all of our fantasy seasons by not giving us the information we need. We are thirsty for the facts, and they know that. But really, Rawls is a better back than Christian Michael. So now that his health is there, and listen, Russell Wilson still going to be playing with a high ankle sprain, may not be as agile, may not be getting out there to Doug Baldwin or Tyler Lockett. So I think they are going to rely on the backs a lot more in this game. And I have to say, I don't know if there was ever a sadder game that I watched in the entire history of my watching the NFL than that Monday night game with my like local LA Rams against, it was just horrible.
It was atrocious. It took a few years off a few people's lives.
Yeah, I fell asleep. Not gonna lie to you. Are you comfortable?
On the East Coast? How could you not fall asleep? How could you stay up for that?
And why would you want to? Even if you could, like, why would you fight that?
I know. It's like maybe Gurley's going to do something now. No, he's not. I'm going to sleep just like him in the fourth quarter.
Please, Gurley, do something so I can trade you, because I don't want any Rams shares. Okay, I'm done with that already. Over it.
So I actually kind of feel the same way, Lisa. If Gurley was to have a good game, especially this weekend against Seattle, would you flirt with the idea of just flipping him, just trading him, maybe just to, you know, get a wide out, somebody just to help your roster out a little bit?
So what you should know is I have a 3-ring binder every season that helps me organize all of my teams. Being in 14 leagues, you really need to stay on par with what's going on with everybody. So what I've started to do is I keep records of who has already fallen to some injuries, who didn't draft well in their running back committee or in their wide receiver committee, and I have a wish list. So as soon as Gurley busts a move, I know exactly who I'm offering him to and who I want in return.
Nice. Who do you want in return?
I will pretty much take anybody. Okay, I just can't buy it. It's too heartbreaking to watch, especially because being that that was a Monday night game and the last game played of the first weekend, a lot of us were, it was your title for that week was on the balance. Like you were like, okay, I'm losing by 2 points. I mean, he has to get me 2 points, right? And then you don't get those 2 points. And you've lost your week 1, that's just, you can't get over that.
It's unacceptable.
Yeah. Lisa, last time you were on here, we talked a lot about the Cowboys and that whole situation, Ezekiel Elliott, a rookie quarterback, and Dak Prescott. They've really kind of underperformed against the Giants, and Elliott was, he found the end zone, but he was just okay. 20 carries, 51 yards. Alfred Morris, 35 rushing yards on 7 carries. Now he's going up against his former team, and Jerry Jones came out and said that Alfred Morris is going to play more snaps. He only played 18 in that game. How do you expect, or what's this whole situation? How do you think it's going to play out? Do you think Alfred Morris is somebody that people should keep on their roster just in case like anything happens to Elliott?
definitely you should be handcuffing Morris to Elliott no matter what. But what we're seeing here is experience versus rookie. And I you know, these players can come out of college and have done so well in that format. When they get on the NFL stage, it's much different. And I think Elliott himself felt that this past week. And so we were all watching and expecting more. I really wasn't. He's a rookie. What do we expect from this kid? Everyone, we've sold him as being so valuable because he's a monster, but he is still a rookie and doesn't have that NFL experience yet. He will. We also looked at the Dak Prescott situation as, oh, well, they're going to run the ball all the time. This is all they can do. Dak Prescott seems to be best friends with Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley is still available everywhere, but no one wants to pick him up. So it's one of these just quandaries. We got a touchdown out of Ezekiel Elliott. That's all we really needed. That's all you should expect. That's more than most rookies get in their first game.
It's an interesting point about Cole Beasley. We were talking about in the office. Someone was appalled, insulted that someone they wanted to trade for Cole Beasley. Like, I would never take Cole Beasley. So you make a good point that him, between him and Jason Witten, they got half of Dak Prescott's targets. He's, in week one.
Yeah, you should pick him up in PPR leagues.
Okay, quickly, Lisa Ann, you are a better woman than me. You strive to read a book a week. What is on the reading list this week?
Reading list this week? Something
handbook.
You've seen Carolina Panthers, Ryan Kallir promoting. It's called The Rookie Handbook. It is a really fun read. I recommend anybody who loves football, get it and read it. It's not a tough read, okay? There's tons of photos, so you're not going to be... It's not really like a book. It's like a photo
book
with captions.
It's a picture book.
it's like a football for dummies kind of thing, but it talks a lot of what really goes on. I love there's a section that talks about rookies having to carry the equipment for the vets. And it also talks about where they sit in the rooms for watching film, where they sit on the bus. And sometimes the coaches play pranks on them and tell them they can have a seat that they really can't. And it's just very comical.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm probably going to go pick that up. It seems interesting. And we love talking to you. So thanks for your time today, Lisa.
Thanks again for having me. You guys have a great fantasy weekend.
Thanks,
yes,
you too.
You too.
All right, coming up next, sit or start?
Yes.
We'll find out on Fantasy Sports Today. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Michael Beller from Sports Illustrated joins us now to talk about sit and starts. We always have this problem when you're playing season long. You have some guys on your bench that are fringe players. You have some guys that are starters that are fringe players. What are you going to do? Michael is here to tell us.
How's it going, Michael?
Doing well, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing well. As you wrote in your article, you can catch on sportsillustrated.com, you had said, you know, starts and sits, this could make or break your lineup, make or break your week. And I just want to know, as you were writing that article, I mean, you got guys at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, all over the place. But when you were starting to write your article, well, who's the first guy that you knew you were going to write about as like a must play?
As a must play?
Yeah, like a must start.
It was Joe Flacco, a guy who a big guy for the stream crowd in traditional one quarterback leagues, a guy who's usually a QB2 in super flex leagues, and I think Flacco's a great play this week. We all saw what Carson Wentz did to the Cleveland Browns defense a week ago. Not quite ready to anoint Carson Wentz the next great quarterback in the NFL, despite being the second overall pick to the Eagles in last year's draft. I think Flacco in this Baltimore offense built to take advantage of Cleveland's weaknesses on defense, and there are many of those weaknesses. The other thing you love about Joe Flacco in this game, Baltimore's still trying to find some sort of footing, some semblance of someone they can count on in that backfield. I'm not sure they found it this week in practice, so I think we're going to see Joe Flacco, even in a game that Baltimore should win comfortably, put the ball in the air 30, 35 times in this game. That should translate to big numbers for his fantasy owners. Really like him. Think he is a strong top 10 quarterback play this week.
See, so start Joe Flacco, sit Jameis Winston. I fell into that trap last week, and look what Jameis Winston did to me. So why is he someone that you want to avoid this week?
I like Jameis Winston a lot. I think he's going to have a great year, and I have him as my number 14 quarterback. So we're not pushing him way far down the list, but we're making those start sits, trying to keep it to the top 12 guys. And it's just going to be, I think, a little bit of a rude awakening for him going to Arizona. Tampa Bay, obviously, has got that long flight out to the desert. Arizona smarting after that loss to New England last week, a game that I think that they thought they were going to come away with without Tom Brady, without Rob Gronkowski in the lineup for the Patriots. This is going to be a much tougher matchup for Jameis than what he dealt with against Atlanta a week ago. Now, I still think he can put up good numbers. I just don't think they're going to be anything near what we saw against the Falcons, and I think that you're going to be able to find 12 or 13 quarterbacks who end up having a better week than him this week. If he's the best you've got, I don't mind riding with him. I just think that there are some other options that you can turn to have a little bit better of a week than what we're going to see from Winston.
Let's move to the running back position. LeGarrette Blount's a guy that we've talked about a lot here, just especially getting a lot of play in the first few weeks without Tom Brady. He was heavily used in week 1 against Arizona. Do you feel comfortable starting him as, say, your RB2 or flex option this week against Miami?
Yeah, I really like LeGarrette Blount. You know, the thing I like about him most, guys, is let's go back to a week ago. When was the last time we saw Bill Belichick give any of his running backs 22 carries in a one-score game? That's something we typically don't see. We talk about LeGarrette Blount as being a game script guy, and when we say that, we mean the Patriots getting a big lead and then feeding him the ball to sort of salt away the clock. That wasn't the case last week in Arizona, and he still got a ton of work. I think that gives us sort of a window into what Bill Belichick's going to want to do while this team is without Tom Brady and perhaps without Rob Gronkowski as well. So I think that means another heavy workload for Blount this week. The efficiency numbers weren't great for Blount last week against the Cardinals, but still give you 70 yards. He gave you a touchdown. I think he can mimic those numbers against Miami this week, most likely with some better efficiency. That Miami defense doesn't compare to what he went up with, what he went up against with the Cardinals on the field last week.
You already talked about some of the weaknesses involved in Cleveland when you were talking about Joe Flacco, but one of their strengths was their running game, but you're not high on Isaiah Crowell this week. Is it because you like Duke Johnson better, or you're just staying away from that backfield altogether?
You could talk me into Duke as a flex play. I think that the move from Robert Griffin to Josh McCown benefits him second most on that team behind Gary Barnage. Mm-hmm. Barnage, the obvious big winner in the Robert Griffin injury with McCown taking over as the starter. But really, if you look at Isaiah Crowell's box score, you say, hey, 12 carries, 62 yards, he got in the end zone. That's not a bad game. Three of his final three carries of the game, which was when Cleveland was already down 29-10. The game was over. There was like a minute and a half left when Cleveland started that drive. Just three let's end the game draws to Isaiah Crowell. Gained 40 yards on those three plays. So okay. Before that throwaway drive that meant nothing in real life, he had 9 carries for 22 yards. So it was not a great game from Isaiah Crowell. I don't think he's going to get that sort of benefit this week against the Ravens. I'm staying away from him entirely.
Let's continue. Wide receivers. I'll let Ashley get a start from you. She's getting all these negative players. So give me a negative player, a wide receiver that you're kind of just avoiding this weekend.
One receiver who I don't really like, and it's a tough spot this week, a tough position that you got to deal with. But one guy who I'm going to be staying away from here this week is John Brown or the Cardinals. You know, the concern with him is that he's a little bit of a one-trick pony. When you've got guys like David Johnson who does everything, Michael Floyd who does a lot, Larry Fitzgerald keeping his career alive with them, and Brown is sort of just this burner, right? I mean, he has that skill big time, but what else does he bring to the table other than that? He was clearly the fourth option in this offense. And while we know he's going to have his moments, he's never going to enter a game as better than the fourth option for Arizona. So to me, he's always been more of a depth guy, a guy that you turn to if you deal with some injury or when the bye weeks start to hit us, but not someone that you're typically going to want to turn to when you have your full complement of players available. John Brown, someone who I am staying away from this week, but I love everyone else in that Arizona offense against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, absolutely. And just we're kind of losing you here a little bit, so we're going to let you go. But Stephon Diggs is your start in the wide receiver position. Where can people check out your work? What's your Twitter handle on the screen there? M. Beller?
Yeah.
At M. Beller?
Yeah, M. Beller. Find me on Twitter, si.com, 120 Sports as well. Check us out. Doing a lot of fun things over there.
Awesome, Michael. Thank you so much for your time.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime, Michael. Good stuff right there. A great follow on Twitter and a great article. Check it out at sportsillustrated.com. We're out of here.
Great week, Chris.
We'll see you Sunday, 9 o'clock live.
See ya.